STR podcasts are brought to you through the generous support of people just like you. You can support these podcasts by making a gift online at str.org or by phone at 1-800-2-REASON.
The church has always been under attack. From its inception, it's faced persecution from murderous dictators like Nero, to worldview challenges from naturalism and Islam. And although many threats are external, some of them come from within. In fact, last month, I attended the National Conference of the Reformation Project in Washington, D.C. Now, its founder, Matthew Vines, calls himself a gay Christian. And their mission statement says they are, quote, dedicated to training LGBT Christians and their allies to reform church teaching on sexual orientation and gender identity through the teaching of the Bible, end quote. In other words, they want to change the church to affirm practicing lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered people by reinterpreting the Bible's teaching on homosexuality. Now, this isn't a minor project either. They use the term Reformation because they believe their mission is in line with the noble reform efforts of Martin Luther. In fact, they intend the church's transformation to be just as significant as it was post-Luther. Now, they have a two-pronged approach to accomplishing their goal. First, they want every Christian who believes homosexual behavior is sin to encounter a gay person in their life. You see, they believe that these personal relationships will deconstruct stereotypes about homosexuality. And that way, conservative Christians will be more willing to accept gay-affirming interpretations of Scripture. Now, second, they are training Christians to argue for a revisionist understanding of the biblical text on homosexuality. And so what they want is believers to return to their conservative congregations and begin reforming their church teaching and make these churches to become gay-affirming. Now, while I was at the conference, I experienced about 2 days of hermeneutics and apologetics training. And what they did was they systematically taught gay-affirming interpretations of the main 6 biblical texts that deal directly with homosexuality. And then they also had us role play their own talking points so that people become comfortable using these arguments when they go back to their churches. Now, it might be tempting to dismiss Vines and others like him. After all, past efforts at church reform, like the Emergent Church movement, for example, gained very little long-term traction. And so many people are thinking, well, Alan, couldn't this just amount to another sort of flash-in-the-pan movement that's gone tomorrow? Well, it's possible, but there's at least 3 reasons to think that this movement will gain a little bit more momentum. Here's why. The first is that there are a number of scholars that support it. Now, advocates of pro-gay theology need experts to give their view credibility. So David Gushee, for example, who's an evangelical ethicist, and James Brownson, who is a New Testament professor, are just 2 of the Christian scholars who have stepped up to the plate. Both of them have published books calling the church to affirm practicing homosexuals. Now, Brownson is their sort of go-to guy for rigorous hermeneutics and apologetics, and he's the one who taught the main arguments at the conference. Now, although the attendees applauded his teaching, I didn't find his arguments compelling. This is the beginning, though, and more scholars will eventually come on board to give this movement more credibility. Now, a second reason why I think that this movement will gain momentum is that there are Christians also who support it. You see, there's a number of Christians who have friends or family who identify as gay or lesbian. And the problem is that many of them don't know how to reconcile their biblical convictions with their love towards that person in their life. And so they mistake love with acceptance. Love to them means they must accept their friend or family member's homosexuality. And this makes them more willing to accept pro-gay theology. It's not surprising that both scholars of the conference, both Gushee and Brownson, confessed that members of their immediate family identify as gay or lesbian. And the third reason why I think that this conference and this movement will gain momentum is that the culture also supports it. You see, most of American culture sides with homosexuality. That means that advocates of pro-gay theology can count on law, on politics, on education, and entertainment to add additional pressure to Christians who are hesitant to accept this revisionist interpretation of Scripture. And so these three factors, I think, will keep the movement going and growing. And that's why the church needs to prepare. The Reformation Project is not the pro-gay theology we saw a decade or two ago. They don't make silly claims like David and Jonathan were gay, or say that Romans 1 was simply about temple prostitution. No, not at all. They make sophisticated and nuanced arguments. They appeal to the Greek and to the Hebrew of Scripture, and they provide systematic training through conferences around the country. And that's why we need to prepare for this new challenge.
You've been listening to Stand to Reason. Our podcasts are made possible by friends of this ministry through their generous support. You can support STR by making a gift online at str.org.